First Kings chapter 17. Come on down, Charlie. First Kings chapter 17, the message tonight is prevailing prayer. Two weeks ago, I preached prevailing faith. If you missed it, or if you want to hear it again, it's online. Gospelnation.tv, you can find all of that. And it'll bless your life. It's a strong message. This is part two, prevailing prayer. And I'm telling you, God wants to encourage you tonight that your faith is working, but that your prayer is working also. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, He's got a powerful encouragement for you. I believe it's going to stir you up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to look at the life of Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17, in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And throughout chapter 18, Elijah then begins to challenge the prophets of Baal. As you know, they built an altar. He had the prophets of Baal build an altar and try to call fire down, and nothing happened. And then he called fire down, and the fire of God came down from heaven. It licked up all the water out of the trenches, and it licked up everything on the altar and consumed the burnt offering right there. And God answered his prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to start over. Just rewind. That's not rewind noise. Hallelujah. That's what you call slain in the spirit right there. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 17. Two weeks ago I preached on prevailing faith. This week I'm preaching prevailing prayer. So in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah's word came to pass. For 3 years it didn't rain. The man shut the heavens so it didn't rain for 3 years. And I believe God encouraged us about faith a few weeks ago, that your faith can do the job. But faith is not a cop-out for not having a prayer life. You know, your faith doesn't get you to the point where you no longer have to pray. If you really have faith, that means you have a strong prayer life. The stronger that your faith life is the stronger that your prayer life is going to be. Your prayer life matches your faith. You know, your faith doesn't bring you to a place where, bless God, I don't have to pray anymore. My faith is so strong. No, the more that you do for God, the greater your faith has to be. And the greater your faith is going to be, the greater your prayer life is going to be. Amen. I'm telling you, your prayer can move mountains. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that these things which you say shall come to pass, you will have everything that you say. That is a prayer life. I'm here to tell you tonight that your prayer life can move mountains. There is nothing that you need. There is nothing that God has called you to do that you can't accomplish through the power of prevailing prayer. Hallelujah. Elijah just didn't get up and prophesy the word to King Ahab, and that was enough. It's not like he just went and prophesied and then he said, "Well, I believe God, so I don't have to pray anymore." It's not like he just prophesied and went out and just had a good old time. No, he went and prayed. The man was a man of prayer. And I'm telling you, you can accomplish anything through prayer. You can move any mountain that is in your way through prayer. I want to stir you up right now and encourage you. I want your hope to begin to spring forth, to break out on every side. And I want you to get excited that your prayer life is going to accomplish great things. Because I think that God's going to give you a jolt of strength in the realm of the Spirit tonight to say, this is how you're going to get from A to Z. I know everybody here on a Wednesday night, you've got a faith project. You've got something that you're believing God for. And I'm telling you, it's time to lock into prayer. It's time to get to an insane level of prayer. It's time to get to an insane level of praise. It's time to kick it up to a higher notch and see everything that God has called you to do begin to come to pass. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, set your eyes and your focus on what the Word has to say. Don't let outside circumstances discourage you and make you think that you can't see all the victory that God has put in your heart come to pass. Because you can see it come to pass. You can make it come to pass. You can pray that thing through and see the glory of God manifest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can move mountains that you haven't been able to move in the past. You can move them through prevailing prayer. Hallelujah. We just got to know how this thing works. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18 was praying in prevailing prayer. But if you look in chapter 19, he began to complain and get mad at God. And the word says he was at Mount Horeb. And God said, I want you to go up and I'm going to speak to you. And Elijah just complained. And he said, I've done all this. I've been faithful and I've killed the prophets of Baal. But yet Jezebel still is running wild and she's seeking my soul to kill me. And he just began to complain. See, the great mighty faith in the anointing that he had didn't accomplish anything when he was complaining. And a lot of times we have a complaining prayer life and not a victorious prayer life. We get into the place of prayer because you're burdened down. Yeah, hey, wait, welcome to life. Welcome to life on planet Earth. The trouble is going to come your way. Okay? So stop complaining about it. Stop crying about it. Welcome to life. You know, this isn't Hollywood, and your life is not just a hunky-dory movie. You're going to face some real challenges. You know, so stop complaining about it. Just because you got saved doesn't mean the devil's not going to attack. It meant the devil's going to attack more, but you're going to have greater victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. So you're going to overcome everything. Hallelujah. Just because you got saved doesn't mean you got an easy pass. You got a pass to victory, praise God. Hallelujah. You're going to see everything come to pass. But Elijah in chapter 19, he had just slain all the prophets of Baal. He had just brought the rain. This guy, he told King Ahab and earlier on, he said, go back to your house and begin to eat and drink, for I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And then Elijah went and prayed. He put his face between his knees and he went up seven times. And he began to pray. He began to pray. He began to pray and he continued in prayer. His servant Gehazi went up and said, there's no rain. And then he came back down and told Elijah, there's no rain. He said, go up again seven more times. So it looks like he went eight times. And he began to pray. He continued in prayer. He continued believing God. You know, your faith is going to get challenged, but the victory of your faith is not in the fact that you win the first challenge hands down. You may get knocked down. You may be believing God sometimes and you may get knocked down. You may get a bad report. Hey, that's a part of it. Continue praying and believing God. Hallelujah. What is Ephesians chapter 6? Turn with me. I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 6. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you, verse 16, and taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, which is, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God praying always with all supplication and prayer in the Spirit. So your fight of faith, I'm telling you, faith is not just a mental state of being. Faith is not just saying, well, I believe. Well, President Trump won the presidency. Okay, I believe. Hillary doesn't. But I believe President Trump won the presidency. That's a state of mind right there. You don't have to go pray, you know, and pray through and continue in prayer. That's a state of mind. It's like, well, just believing a fact is one thing. But believing the word and operating in faith is not an act of just having a mental understanding of it. It is receiving it into your heart and it is praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit until you see the manifestation take place. Elijah prayed. He didn't just prophesy the word of God, and we want to stop at a word. Praise God. Man, the prophet online gave me a word and it was right on. Thank God for that. Or Pastor Bob gave me a word at the church and it was right on target. Thank God for the prophetic word that you got. But that's just the beginning of your fight of faith. The fight of faith is not you struggling in defeat, being sad, busted and disgusted, and knocked on your backside all the time. Oh, I'm fighting the fight of faith, brother. That's what most people think. Well, I'm believing God. You know what? That code for, well, I'm believing God, or I'm just fighting the fight of faith, brother, code for that in the Christian circles means I'm getting my tail kicked. That's really what it means. Just admit it. That's what you meant last time you said it. I'm just kidding. That's really what we mean when we say, oh, I'm believing God. That means you don't have anything and you're defeated and you just don't want to admit it. Well, I'm just believing God. That's because you just got a state of mind. You haven't, you know, when you've got a prayer and a fervency in prayer taking place like Elijah did, and you've got your face between your knees, when your face is between your knees, you do not have time to hear the complaints of the yappers on either side of you telling you it's not going to work. When your face is between your knees and you're praying fervently and effectively for something to take place and you are fighting the fight of faith, you don't have time to deal with unbelief. You're too busy praying. That's why the fight of faith is a fight. Because it's a constant war of speaking the word of God. It's a constant battle of speaking the word. Anytime somebody says something that's contrary, anytime a thought that comes that is contrary, you counter it with the word of God and you're speaking the word of God. Hallelujah. But not only that, I'm going to get into this in a few minutes. There is a place of prayer. And this doesn't have to be a geographical place, but it's a place for you, a place of prayer that becomes so worn in the spirit that you have developed a place of prayer. And it is time that the church here in the United States get back to the place where we know and have a place of prayer, where our fight of faith is not simply just saying, well, I believe, and confessing a few times throughout the day. But when push comes to shove, you know how to block out 2 hours, 1 hour, or 3 hours and just pray the entire time until you have possessed victory on the inside. The place of prayer. Turn with me to James chapter 5. Hallelujah. James chapter 5. We'll start in verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for another, one another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it may not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. So in 1 Kings chapter 17, it doesn't say that he prayed, but right here we see that he did pray in order to stop the rain. So he didn't just get lucky the first time and then start praying the second time. He didn't get lucky to stop the rain and then, oh, I'd better pray to bring the rain back. He prayed in order to start this whole thing off. Hallelujah. And he prayed earnestly that it may not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Hallelujah. So I want to read this to you in the Greek. Now, I'm going to speak English. It's all Greek to me, but I'm just going to read this to you out of the Greek. I did a Greek study of verse 16. I'll read this in English again. The second part, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That actually reads like this, right out of the original. Much prevails the prayer of the righteous and is affecting. Or the righteous person is affecting. Much prevails the prayer of the righteous and the righteous person is affecting. It's important you understand where that word affecting, how that word affecting applies. Really, what that means is that the effectual prayer, fervent prayer coming from you makes you effectual. It's not just like the prayer is effectual up there in heaven, but it makes you effectual. So when you get fervent and prevailing prayer, when you lock in like Elijah did, then you become effectual. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's exciting to me right there. I don't know about you, but when you walk into prayer like that, what that is actually saying when you study it in the original is you become effectual. We got to stop putting everything off on God and saying, well, when God's timing comes to pass, whenever God wants to do this, well, I guess it's not time. You know what? That's another more charismatic code language for I am not praying enough. Next time somebody knocks off something about the timing of God, you just need to say, oh, actually that translates in the original Greek too. You are not praying enough. We write off stuff on the timing of God all the time. And God did everything on the cross. Jesus bore the penalty of all shame. And not only that, as I preached several weeks ago, by the grace of God, He gave us all healing, all prosperity, everything in the promise, all the blessing of God was fully provided for at the cross. So we got to stop waiting and stop rejoicing. Hallelujah. That's another message. But we got to stop waiting and start rejoicing because God's already done it. So you got to get rid of the mentality of when is God going to do this? Just forget that mindset forever and throw it in the trash. Get rid of the mindset of when is God going to do this? Forget it. Kick it out of your life. It's 99% of the time, that is just a religious lie from the devil trying to tell you that it's okay to believe that God is going to do it in the future, but He isn't doing it right now. Well, you know what? Tomorrow, all of a sudden, when you get to tomorrow, then the future has moved back one day. So every time you go through another day, the future has taken a step back with you. And that day is never going to come. That's why people never receive their healing. That's why some people never prosper. They never break through. They never see changes take place. Because you keep waiting for what God is going to do. God did it on the cross. So what the Word is saying right here is that your fervent prayer makes you effectual. It makes you powerful. You are the one that has got to get a hold of this and become effectual. You are the one that has got to get a hold of this and become powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what this is actually saying, is you become powerful. If it was all about the will of God, then Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 would have fulfilled everything the Lord told him on Mount Horeb, but he did not. Why? Because Elijah was complaining. And that is a form of prayer. It's the wrong kind of prayer. You know what complaining is? It's when you're facing trouble and difficulty and you get into the prayer closet, or you're just praying, or you're just praying on the way to work and you turn on some praise and worship and you're just like, oh God, karaba, karaba, karaba. Lord, it is so bad. Karaba, karaba, karaba. God, do you have any idea what that person said? Karaba, ka, shaka, ka, 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 ka. And this is, you pray that way for 30 minutes. You just mumble. And that's exactly, just because you're talking to God doesn't mean you're accomplishing anything. I'm not going to read 1 Kings 19, but you need to read that, because you will see Elijah doing that same thing. The great prophet Elijah, one of the most unstoppable people in the Word of God. 1 Kings, let's see, it's right before 2 Kings. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 19. The great man of God is sitting here moping and crying and just saying about how bad it is. Two or three times he rails off the same complaint to the Lord. The Lord is dealing with Elijah, and two or three times in chapter 19, Elijah just rails off the same mealy-mouthed complaint. I've done all this, I've been faithful, and da-da-da-da-da, and nobody remains but me. And Jezebel still goes alive and she's seeking my head. Well, you know what? That's the fact of the matter, but stop praying the facts in the realm of the natural. And stop complaining. Like I said several weeks ago, boldness is declaring what's true in the spirit that is not yet true in the natural. So you got to get bold. Stop speaking what's true in the natural. You're not a natural person. Hello. You're born again. When you got saved, your spirit man became born again. People that have not gotten saved, they are a natural person. Their spirit man is there. They have a spirit man, but it is living in death. It is not alive. It's like on kind of like a life support in a comatose state. But when you get born again, your spirit man becomes alive. And now you have power in the spirit. So stop speaking everything that you see in the realm of the natural. Boldness is declaring what's true in the spirit before it's true in the realm of the natural. That's what boldness is. That's why it's so important to declare things boldly and publicly. So Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 is just complaining. He's just won this great victory. And one of the most dangerous things about winning a great victory is you assume that your momentum from that victory is just going to carry you on through till the rapture takes place. And how many of you have won a great victory? I mean, you sold three or four houses in a week. You got $20,000 of commissions, and then come the next month, you're back on broke street again. You don't know what you're going to do, and you've had great testimony and breakthrough from the doctor, and you had great progress, and all of a sudden you think, and what you do? You quit on your faith because you had a big victory. That's the most dangerous thing about a victory, is you quit on your faith and you think that the momentum is just going to carry you on through. And that's what Elijah did. Well, he thought, I just destroyed the prophets of Baal. Maybe this is what he thought. This is probably what I would have been thinking. I just destroyed the prophets of Baal. I don't have to do all this praying and fasting and everything, because that's hard work. That's why it's called the fight of faith. Hello? That's why it's called the fight of faith. And that's why most Christians don't want to do it. Because they don't want to fight. We just want to come and get hands laid on us, which is great. Come and get hands laid on you, but keep fighting the fight of faith. I'll tell you, you got to keep fighting the fight of faith. And Elijah just quit, and his prayer life had just turned into a complaining life. You can be talking to God, and your prayer life can be nothing but a complaining life, and you're making no progress. And if you read in 1 Kings chapter 19, God was there, and so was Satan. Satan was also there, but God was there. He talked with the Lord. And Elijah actually didn't carry out what the Lord, he only carried out, if I remember correctly, one thing. He anointed Elisha. The Lord gave him three things to do. He did one out of the three, but Elisha came on and did the other two when he came around. So God's will still came to pass. But Elijah, he quit praying. So faith is not going to take place. Great faith exploits are not going to take place in your life just because it's the will of God. I'll make another kaboom statement. The great faith exploits in your life are not going to take place just because God loves you. You have to respond to the will of God. You have to respond to the love of God, and then you will see things take place. We want to write off things. I'm telling you, we want to get lazy and write off things to the will of God. Que sera, sera. What will be, the will of God is going to come to pass. God's in control. All those are signs of somebody who doesn't have a real prayer life. We want to write things off, well, you know, and say, well, God, we know God loves you. God loves every single person that's gone to hell. Every single person that's gone to hell, God loves them and died for them. And He shed tears for them. He spilled blood for that person. But they did not respond to the love of God in faith. So you got to fight the fight of faith. And that's where prevailing prayer comes in. I'm telling you, every promise of God that God has given you is still one step away. If you will commit to prevailing prayer and with the attitude that something is going to die from here on out, and it ain't going to be me, it's going to be every attack of the devil that's trying to stop me from receiving what God has for me. This is over, and I don't care what I have to go through until I see manifestation. I am going to do it. When you have that kind of mindset, you are going to begin to manifest the promises of God. Hallelujah. You're going to begin to see breakthrough after breakthrough take place. Hallelujah. It's not a magical anointing. It's not a magical gifting, because if that was what it was, then Elijah would have won in chapter 19, just like he did in 17 and 18. But you got to prevail in prayer. And I'm telling you, you can do it, and you're going to do it. Praise God. Give yourself a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. I need my backup water now. Hallelujah. I'm going to read verse 16. Just pulled straight out of the Greek again to you. Much prevails the prayer of the righteous, and he is effecting. Yes. Hallelujah. Prevails is the word ischal. I don't know how to pronounce that in Greek. So your guess is as good as mine. It's possessing strength and ability. Prevails. In verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word availeth is actually prevails. Prevails much. So that word prevails means possessing strength and ability. So let me ask you this question right now. Think of the situation that you're facing. And not only think of the need, but think of the abundance. Like I've said several weeks ago, we have got to stop believing God for just survival and stop believing God to just barely make it through and stop believing God just to be a need meter. God is so much greater than a need meter. Come on. So think of the abundance. Not only think of the need, think of the abundance. God has given you a vision of abundance about what it is you're believing God for. Think about that thing right now. What would happen in your life if you were the one you possessed strength and ability. If you possessed all strength and ability in that situation, what would happen in that situation? I need you to think about this right now. What would happen in that situation that you're believing God for if you were the one? Now, because I'm trying to change your mindset right here, because we always think that God is the one. And we want to put, now God does possess strength and ability, all strength and ability. But we want to put everything off God. But what if you were the one that possessed all strength and ability in the thing that you are believing God for, in the thing that God has called you to do? What would change? I know that silences the mind's thinking and processing in your heart. I pray it gets in your heart. What would change if you were the one that had all strength and ability in your situation? What would change. You see, what that does is that reveals what you know God really wants to do. And you, what that reveals exactly what you need to accomplish in prayer. That's exactly what the what prevailing prayer is. That's how you have to lock into it. What would change if I was the one that had all power and strength in this situation? Because that's what that word avails means when it says avails much. It's actually prevails. And it means that you, in the place of prayer, you have all power and you have all strength and ability. So you have all strength and all ability in the place of prayer. So how would things in your life change if you actually were manifesting that? Just think about that right now. And I'm telling you, you ought to get a tenacity rising up on the inside of you right now and saying, devil, forget you. You've been lying to me about this the whole time because you've been thinking this was God's job. And God's waiting for you to get a hold of prevailing prayer just like Elijah did. And that whole breakthrough that you've been waiting and waiting and hoping is going to take place, God has put in your hands, hallelujah. God has given you the ability. God has given you all strength and all ability in that situation, and you can pray it through. Hallelujah. 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 Why don't you praise God for that right now? This is who you are. And if you've been thinking anything less than that, then change your mindset and change your heart right now. You probably need to hear the message again. And get online. It's all over the internet. We're live streaming and everything's on a replay. Go buy the CD. Do what you need to do. You've got to change your mindset and understand that you are the one that has all strength and all ability in this situation. Well, God has it. We all know that God has it. But God has given you His name. God has given you His word. And He is waiting on you. You are not waiting on God. Now, I understand things, there are things that take timing. You know, when a married couple has a baby, it takes 9 months. You can't, your faith can't change. There are some things that take timing. You can't faith your way through the natural course of things. But things in the natural should be progressing forward towards the blessing of God and not just stale. Hallelujah. God has given you all strength and all ability. That's what that word prevail avails much. Avails means prevail. You have all strength and all ability. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So much prevails the prayer of the righteous, and he is effecting. He or she is effecting or is effectual. You are the one. The prayer of the righteous is desis, is a heartfelt petition of deep personal need. I'm going to talk about that for just a minute. This is why it's so important that you go public with what God has told you. Because until you go public, you know what I'm about to say. Or you could just come up and preach this thing right here. Until you go public, your neck is not on the line. Well, I'm believing God for $2 million in the next 10 years to sow into the kingdom of God. But you haven't told anybody about it. Why? Because you're afraid if it doesn't happen, you don't want to have egg on your face. And so what's taken place is that you have not put your neck on the line. So it has not come to a place of deep personal need. But this is scriptural. That's why Elijah went to Ahab and said, there will not be dew nor rain these years in 1 Kings 17:1. There will not be dew nor rain these years except according to my word. He didn't say except according to God's word and put it off on God. He said except according to my word. So what happened when Elijah did that? All of a sudden it becomes a deep personal need. Because he is the one on the line. He's the one who barged into the king's throne room. He could have got killed from just doing that. But he went ahead, he did it in boldness, and God took care of him, and he began to pray. Because he had all of a sudden he had a deep personal need. When you stand up and say, this is what we are doing, then all of a sudden your neck is on the line and it gets real personal. When you say it's going to happen according to my word, then it has gotten very personal. Because if it doesn't happen, well, that guy's a liar. We all know what that guy tried to say. He tried to, you know, and how many, over the last 20 years, 10 years, however long you've been full of faith and walking with the Lord, we've all heard people that have tried to confess their way into something, but they weren't living a life of prevailing prayer on their own, and their confession ended up just embarrassing people. And really, the devil always has a counter movement, and really, that is something that has been a counter movement to the word of faith, to say, well, it doesn't really work, because there have been a lot of people that just, in a shallow attempt, have just said, well, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Well, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. You can't just, if your faith has already developed, and you've been walking in prevailing prayer, and you've done that, then you can say that, and it's going to work. But I'm telling you, we got to have a deep personal need about it and not be casual about the things that we say. Don't just flippantly say something. Hallelujah. Don't, you know, if you're believing God for a house to be paid for cash, then you've got to, you ought to be praying and having a prayer life, a place of prayer that is dedicated and where you are prevailing in prayer and seeing that thing come to pass. So when you say it publicly, then it is going to take place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The prayer of the righteous. Much prevails the prayer of the righteous. That word prayer means a heartfelt petition of deep personal need. This has got to become personal to you. This has got to, you got to make it personal. You got to say something. You got to tell somebody what God is having you do and make sure that you're ready to back it up. You know, well, I'm believing God that we're going to have $2 million in the next 10 years to give, and if God brings it to pass, well, you know what? You just kind of backed out. It's not a deep personal need anymore. We got to put ourselves on the line. Hallelujah. And that word effectual is affecting, energio. It's like the word comes from, looks like it comes from the word energy. What that means is you are working and bringing it from one stage to the next. I want to just emphasize again that this means that this is what you do. This word effectual means that you become effectual. When you begin to have prevailing prayer, this means you become effectual. It's not like God becomes effectual up in heaven and begins to rain down things, but you become effectual. This is where the old saints like Father, I believe it was Father Nash that traveled with Charles Finney back in the 1800s, how they would go into a town and hold a revival. Father Nash would pray, Charles Finney would preach, and the power of God would begin to sweep that entire city until people were just getting saved, and the high percentage of people were born again in that town. Because he knew how to pray. He knew how to become effectual. This is where we get to the place where we are effectual and demanding and bold, and what we say comes to pass. Hallelujah. And God can use us in a mighty way because we become effectual. God wants us to understand tonight that His will is for you to become effectual in your prayer life. For you to be the one that makes things come to pass. Hallelujah. A deep personal need. I'm telling you, that'll make it become effectual in your life. There have been so many times that I've stepped out in faith for something in the ministry or other things, and I just knew what the Lord. I knew that the Lord wanted me to do this, and so I said it publicly. And you feel all of a sudden like you're a different person because you're no longer behind the scenes, behind the curtains, waiting for God to do something. You're the one out there on the forefront, and that's exactly how God wants it to be. I've done that so many times and seen God come through. Tell you, meeting with pastors in other states, talking about a crusade that we're going to do. I've done this twice and showed them pictures of a tent that I didn't have. And both times God came through supernaturally. Like I said, that was not a little Home Depot frame tent that you can go and buy for $70. I mean, these were tents that cost $10,000 plus. God came through supernaturally both times. There was another time I told a group of pastors, we're going to have these blade flags. We're going to put up blade flags all over the city of Springfield. It cost $5,000. I probably had $100 in the ministry account at the time. And God came through and brought in the money supernaturally. Somebody gave a $5,000 gift. And all those things were paid for. I'm telling you, this works. It's you got to step out and put yourself out there. And God's going to meet you when you do that. This word affecting means that you are working and bringing it from one stage to the next. That is an effectual prayer life. You see, I want you to understand that this word actually does not mean that your prayer is effectual. It means that you are effectual. It doesn't mean that God is effectual. Of course He is. It doesn't mean your prayer is effectual. Of course your prayer is effectual. But the important thing for you to understand is that this is you being effectual. This is the power that you have when you have this kind of a prayer life. You have the power to work and to bring things in your life from one stage to the next. Hallelujah. You can pray, you can get a hold of the promise of God and take something from one stage to the next. Well, cancer just developed from stage 3 to stage 4 or whatever. Well, you have the power to pray and see it go from stage 3 down to stage 2, from stage 2 down to stage 1 and down to stage 0. That's the effectual power that you have. Hallelujah. Praise God, you can do this. You got to get excited about that, because I'm telling you, your faith will work when you understand how the prayer life behind your faith is supposed to work. Faith gets discouraged. Faith begins to lose its course, and discouragement and unbelief begins to set in when you do not understand how prevailing prayer works with prevailing faith. But when you understand these principles, your faith is going to begin to explode. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got a lot more I can teach and preach, but we got to get this into our spirits. It's one thing to have this on your notes. It's another thing to have it in your heart. You got to understand that you have the ability to move things in your life supernaturally by your own prayer. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you are powerful tonight. Glory to God. Can I get some help on this mic, Tony? Check, check. You have the ability to do this. I don't want to lose my voice because I want to finish preaching the message. You have the ability to get a hold of that and become effectual. God wants you to do it. God wants you to pray that thing through. How would it transpire if you were the one that had all power and all strength in the situation? Well, I'm telling you right now that the Word of God does say that you are the one that has all power and all strength. You are not subject to what the doctor has to say. You are not subject to what the banker has to say. You are not subject to what your boss has to say. You are not subject to what your family has to say about the situation. You are the one that has all power and all strength to carry that thing through. Praise God. And your prayer life is going to do it. Don't stop believing God and don't stop praying. Praise God. I'm telling you, your faith and your prayer is the 1-2 punch of victory in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, as a preacher up here, you can see who's believing God for something, and you can see some that ain't believing God for nothing. Hallelujah. You are working. This is what effectual means. You are effectual. You are working and bringing it from one stage to the next. Praise God. This ability, that's the ability that you have with a prevailing prayer life. And it went on to say in the description of this Greek word, it's like an electrical current of energy, like an electrical current energizing a wire. That's how it flows through you. Glory to God. An electrical current energizing. That's the power of God flowing through you. It's exactly what takes place when you have an effectual prayer life. Hallelujah. Now let's go to verse 17. Fervent prayer. Let's see, verse 17 in the King James. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And that word, that where it says right there, he prayed earnestly. That word prayed means fervent prayer, or with fervent prayer. With fervent prayer. And that broken down out of the Greek means fervently in the place of prayer. Fervently in the place of prayer. That when the Lord says the place of prayer, that has the connotation that you are doing enough praying that you have a place that you need to go pray. There ought to be some place in your life that is your prayer room, your prayer closet, wherever it is. I don't know. It can be a few different places, but you ought to have a place of prayer where you can go, because your prayer life is too intense to take place while you're shopping in the mall. You know, I pray when I'm walking around. I pray all the time when I'm driving. I pray everywhere. I speak the word, but there are times when I gotta pray so much that I can't just pray anywhere. I gotta go to my place and I am praying this thing through. That's the intensity that has to take place for you to bring the rain like Elijah did. That's the intensity that has to take place for your prevailing faith and your prevailing prayer to see total victory. Hallelujah. You got to have so much intensity that there's got to be, I'm telling you, padded walls all the way around you because people hear you praying so loud.
You got to have a prayer life like that. Where you're going to wake somebody up with all of your praying. People in your apartment building can't go to sleep because you're praying too loud. You got to have a place of prayer. This is how it works. This is how you're going to see that victory take place. Praise God. Elijah prayed in the place of prayer. This just wasn't a casual prayer of speaking the word, which is very important to speak the word as you walk throughout the day, but it was not a casual just speaking the word prayer. This is the foundation of spiritual strength. When Jesus in Matthew chapter 17 told his disciples they could not cast the devil out because of their unbelief, he said that it's because this kind comes not out but by prayer and by fasting. This is the kind of prayer that Jesus was talking about. An intense prayer life. A prayer life that drives you to a certain place where you are so serious and you are so focused that you're going to move heaven and earth until you have prayed through. Until you've got possession of that thing in your heart. And I'm telling you, when you do that, you come out of the place of prayer a different person. You go in full of fear. You go in wondering, why God, why? When God, when? What is going on? Why is the doctor saying this when your word says that? Why are my finances like this when your word says that? And you come out of that place full of the Spirit of God, full of victory, and full of rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what that place of prayer is going to do for you. It's like Superman changing in the telephone booth. That's what's going to happen when you get in that prevailing place of prayer. You're going to realize that I am, and there's something else. You're going to realize that I am the one who has all power and all strength in this situation. And that brings us to verse 17. With fervent prayer, he prayed in the place of prayer. The second part, he prayed. Verse 17, it says he prayed earnestly. That word prayed means with fervent prayer. Earnestly actually just means he prayed. But what that means, when you read it out of the Greek, it means interacting with God as he imparts his desires and faith. So in that place of prayer, I'm telling you, you can go into the place of prayer wondering what's going to happen, struggling with fear, struggling with doubts, and feeling like, God, I can't do what you've called me to do. Lord, I don't know how the business is going to work. I don't know how my family is going to work. You go into the place of prayer like that, but if you stay long enough, if you will prevail in prayer and stop wimping out and don't get distracted with Facebook and don't answer the phone and don't worry about all these things, if you will stay there until you get full of the Spirit, God is going to impart his desires into you. And God is going to impart faith into you. That's how faith grows. You get in your place of prayer and your faith begins to explode. Hallelujah. And you're no longer afraid. You're no longer afraid of a bad doctor's report. You're no longer afraid of what the finances look like because God has given you the power. God has given you the ability and he has imparted faith into your heart and into your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you come out so full of victory that you're not concerned about what's taking place in the natural because you know that something has exploded on the inside of you and the natural realm is changing as a result of that. You see, you stop waiting for the natural to change and now you are changing the natural. That's what happens when you come out of the place of prayer. You stop waiting for the natural to change and now you are changing the realm of the natural. This is how Elijah accomplished what he accomplished. Hallelujah. This is what your faith can accomplish. This is what your prevailing prayer can accomplish. Praise God. You stop waiting for the natural to change and you start changing the natural. I'm telling you, and then it'll even get to this point where you have been praying things casually, walking through the day that didn't work, and you get in the place of prayer like that long enough, and then you come out, and next time you pray it walking through the day, the power of God comes. Next time you pray it walking through the day, all of a sudden manifestations take place. The same prayer you prayed before just walking through the day wasn't working, wasn't accomplishing anything, and now all of a sudden power is released. Now all of a sudden the blessing of God is released because you have got it in the realm of the Spirit. Elijah had that kind of boldness with King Ahab in chapter 17 and 18 because he had it in the place of prayer. God had imparted those things to him and he possessed the victory in prayer. Hallelujah. Your prevailing faith has got to be balanced with prevailing prayer. Praise God. You see, and this is where prayer becomes a joy, not a burden. This is where prayer becomes exciting and something that you live for, because now you realize the power that you have. Praise God. Hallelujah. Interacting with God as He imparts faith and His desire. You're going to know the will of God, and He's going to impart faith to you. Your faith is going to prevail. Your prayer is going to prevail. Hallelujah. You are the one that is effectual. God has made you effectual. You just got to get in the place of prayer. Begin to throw some punches. I'm telling you, turn on the Eye of the Tiger. Watch a Rocky movie. Get yourself inspired and just begin to do that in the realm of the Spirit. And begin to pray and speak the word, I'm telling you, and you're going to come out with victory. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think we just need to praise God right now before we move on. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I encourage you tonight. I declare that your prayer is going to prevail like never before. I declare that you are breaking through like never before. Hallelujah, 2018 is going to be your best year. 2018, you're going to see things come to pass that you almost had given up on. Hallelujah, 2018 is going to be a year of abundance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, because you're going to prevail in faith and you're going to prevail in prayer. Hallelujah. In 2018, you're not going to be waiting for the natural to change. You're going to be coming out of the prayer closet and changing the realm of the natural. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you praise God for that tonight? Just lift your hands and praise Him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I believe you need to give an offering tonight in faith, an offering of faith. I'm not going to do my offering teaching. I believe the Holy Ghost just led me that we need to give an offering of faith tonight. Just respond to what God has imparted into your heart. I'm telling you, respond to what Jesus is doing. Hallelujah. This offering is for Harvest Ministries International, my ministry. I'm actually not on staff here. But just write it to the church, and they'll cut a check to our ministry. And Riley and I appreciate it so much. Hallelujah. I'll take the money and get some voice lessons so I don't lose my voice. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for blessing the givers tonight. In Jesus' name, if you're watching online, there's a place you can give online. You can do some online giving. Let me encourage you just to stir yourself up right now and give something that's going to mean something to you. I'm telling you, I believe this is a breakthrough time right now for you. So give an offer.